Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
Continue our series, Beyond Mistakes, how the Holy Spirit helps us when we fail, how the Holy Spirit helps us when we feel that we're not worthy. Was anybody blessed last week? Amen. So today is part two. I want to go quickly. I just want to go over a couple of things. The Holy Spirit, number one, is my friend. Well, that too, yeah, but he's my, that's number two. He's my helper. He's my counselor, and he's my, what does advocate mean? He fights on our behalf. Yes, he fights on our behalf. And so then we talked about the difference between conviction and guilt. What is conviction? Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction pushes us towards God. And guilt pulls us away from God. Conviction tells you, in other words, the conviction of the Holy Spirit lets you know what you did wrong. Doesn't make you feel bad, but he tells you what you did wrong. And guilt is not of God. It's not of the Holy Spirit. Guilt makes you feel bad. It makes you feel worthless. And that's when guilt and shame come into play. So anytime you feel guilty, you feel shameful, that's the result of sin. And guilt will also make you feel that you're not worthy enough to worship God, that you're not worthy enough to pray, that God doesn't want to hear your prayer. That comes from the devil. So you have to understand both things. They're two separate things. One comes from God, one comes from the devil. Then we talked about how the Holy Spirit is our helper. He makes things easier for us. He's the one that makes life easier. And so today the question that I have, and it's what Ashley posted on Instagram, is why, if the Holy Spirit is my helper, why is it that life is so hard? If the Holy Spirit is supposed to make things easier, why is it that many people struggle with their faith? Why is it that many people may have doubts? I remember when I was in Bible school, everything was great. Everything was nice. The moment I came out, I was confronted with real life. And it wasn't the same way that it was in Bible school. Why? Because I wasn't surrounded with everybody who was on fire for Jesus. I wasn't surrounded by people who wanted the same thing. Now it became harder. I was surrounded by people who came to church, but they really weren't passionate for Jesus. They called themselves Christian, but they really weren't Christian. They didn't know the first thing about Scripture. They didn't know anything. They knew the songs. They knew all the correct lingo. But they themselves inside were not saved again. They weren't born again. And so it became hard. So the question that I always had, and I think many of you have had, is if the Holy Spirit is supposed to make life easier, why is it that my walk in Christ becomes so difficult at times? And today we're going to consider at least one of the many things that make this walk difficult for many of you, especially in your young years. So I want to start from the very beginning, from the basics, if you will. You can write this down if you're taking notes. Is the Holy Spirit will never lie to me. Who is the Holy Spirit? God. God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says in John 4:24, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's 4:24, God is spirit, and those who are to worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Bible tells us that God is spirit. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, that is God amongst us. That's why we're able to say that God is omnipresent. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is everywhere. So the first thing we must understand today is the Holy Spirit will never lie to me. Whenever you fail, whenever you have messed up, what's one of the things that comes into your mind? Aside from God doesn't want to talk to you, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, God made a mistake when he picked you. What's another thing that comes into mind? For me, I can tell you exactly what it was. It was God is mad at you. God is upset with you because you sinned again, because you failed again, because you did what you said you weren't going to do again. And we're not the only ones that have wrestled with this, because the Bible says that the flesh and the spirit oppose each other. The desires of the flesh are opposite of the desires of the spirit. And Paul writes about this. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Who will free me from this life, from this body, from this sinful nature that I have inside of me?" So Paul also suffered from that battle that we all have, where we want to do the right thing, but we end up not doing the right thing. Where the things we don't want to do, those are the things we end up doing. But I want to caution you today, because the modern gospel in America will tell you that that is normal. It's normal to continue to fight. And while that is somewhat true, that is also false. Because I've heard many people quote Proverbs. Have you ever heard it quote to you, or you've read it and you use that? I've used it before, where it says, "The righteous man shall fall seven times, and seven times he gets back up." That verse is not talking about people that sin. That verse is not talking about you falling into sin over and over and over again. Jesus paid the price so that you can live in victory over sin. That's a message that is not modern in the Christian world in the United States. And you must understand that. When you understand that Jesus paid the price for sin, that means you no longer have to live under sin, but you live under grace. In other words, now sin does not have victory over you. You don't have to live a life where you continually sin, where you're constantly falling into the same things over and over. So what does Proverbs talk about when it says the righteous man shall fall seven times and seven times he gets back up? It talks about the things that you decide to do in life. For example, you want to start a business and it failed. You failed once, you get right back up. It talks about you prayed for a sick person, like I did the first time that I prayed for somebody who had COVID. I went home and I was excited. I said, "Tomorrow we're going to hear a miracle." I was full of faith. And then they called. The guy died. And you know what I did? I got back up and I prayed for another sick person. The righteous person may fall, may fail seven times, but seven times you get right back up. So how does the Holy Spirit help us in regards to sin? It is not a normal Christian life to be sinning over and over in the same things over and over. I will tell you what should be normal, but unfortunately in America, because of the gospel that is preached, is not normal. But what should be normal is a Christian that is no longer bound by sin, that you're no longer struggling with the same things over and over, but that you have realized and understood that we have somebody who is our helper named, called the Holy Spirit, and he is able to help us to make life easier. So number one, the Holy Spirit will never lie to me. Why is that important? The Bible says, John chapter 16 and verse 13 in the New Living Translation. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of what? Truth. Understand that anytime that the Holy Spirit speaks, it's truth. You may not understand it, but there is truth in his words and what he says. He will guide you. Say with me, guide. He will guide you into all truth. There's that word again. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. The Holy Spirit will never lie to me. He will always lead us into what is truthful. He will always lead us into what brings life. What brings life? Truth brings life. The Word of God, the Bible says it, that the Word of God is truth. And if the Word of God is truth, then the Word of God brings life. And so then truth brings about life into us. And so those things that are probably dead, or passions or desires that we had years ago to serve the Lord, they might have died out because of sin. When the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks truth, and that causes life to bloom again. Secondly, I want you to understand that he will not lead us in the incorrect path, but he will lead you into the correct path. How does the Holy Spirit lead me and lead you into the correct path? If he's leading us into all truth, then he is going to lead you into the correct path, into the path that is truthful and the path that is correct for your life. How does he lead us? How does he lead us? Through the word. Anybody else? Nobody else knows? You don't know? The Holy Spirit leads us to the down the correct path by the word. Say with me, but the Bible. The Bible says, Psalms chapter 119, Verse 105 in the New King James Version says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What does the Holy Spirit do? He leads us into the correct path. And you might say, well, I still don't know where I should study. I still don't know where I should work. I don't know if I should get into this relationship or not. I don't know if I should walk away from these circle of friends. I don't know if I should join these circle of friends. I don't know where I ought to begin. All my dreams and desires that I have, I don't know where to start. When you start reading the word begins to lead you into the correct path. Where you're supposed to study, where you're supposed to work, what house you should buy. It sounds ridiculous because most people don't practice this. Everything in your life should be a testimony. The way that you got the house should be a testimony. This TV right here is a testimony. I'll tell you very quickly, just because I love that testimony. I bought my house back in 2015. And I remember I walked into my house one day and it was empty. I had two lawn chairs and my little laptop, and that was it. That's where I would watch movies. And I had my my bed. I didn't have a fridge. So I went to my barber's to get a haircut. And he said, "Do you have everything that you need for your house?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Oh, okay, so you got yourself a fridge?" I said, "No." "So you got yourself a couch?" I said, "Nah." "So you got yourself a TV?" I said, "Tampoco." And so he said, "So what do you have?" I said, "I got a bed and I got a bathroom. That's all I need." And he started laughing. He said, "You know, I have a TV in my room." He said, "If you want it, you can have it." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." Now, this is a short dude. He's a skinny dude. He says, "It's kind of broken from the back because I would pick it up and put it on the ground to move it sometimes." And I said, "Man, if he's giving away a TV and as skinny as he is, this has got to be like a 19-inch TV. But I'll take it. It's better than my little laptop." And I said, "Yeah, that's fine." He said, "All right, I'll call my wife so you can swing by after." So then after I got the haircut, Henry was in town and he was at my house. I said, "Henry, come with me. We're going to go pick up this TV." He said, "Okay, cool." And so I remember when I prayed, I think I left this part out. When I prayed, I walked in and there was a wall. And I said, "Lord, I would like," this is honest truth to God, I did my hand like this and said, "Lord, I would love a 50-inch screen TV, a plasma." Because back in those days, that was the new thing. Now you got LED. I said, "I would like a plasma TV, but they're expensive. They're like $300, $350. I don't want to pay for it. Can you please give me one? Thank you in Jesus' name." So every day I would walk by, I would say, "Thank you, Lord, for the TV that's going to go there." So then fast forward to a couple weeks later, Henry comes with me. And so we go to my barber's house and we show up. His wife opens the door. She said, "You're here for the TV?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "All right, well, follow me and you guys can get it because it's kind of heavy." And I said, "How heavy can a 19-inch screen TV be?" So we walk in and the TV's on the ground. I said, "Is that the TV?" She goes, "Yeah, that's the TV." I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah, that's the one that he told me to give you." I said, "You call him and make sure." He goes, "No, that's the one that's broken from the back." I said, "He did say it was broken." I said, "Okay." I said, "Henry, help me pick this thing up because it's heavy." We picked it up. Somehow we fit it into the car. As soon as I closed the door, he said, "How much did you pay for that TV?" I said, "I didn't pay for it." He said, "Yeah, you did." I said, "No, I didn't." And then he said this. He goes, "Nobody in their right mind gives away a TV like that." The thing was almost brand new back in those days. Then I brought it here and it's been used ever since. And so I said, "Yeah." I said, "I asked God for a TV. I said, I would like a TV, but I wanted him to give me the one that he wanted me to have." And I got the TV. And he go, and you guys already know him. He said, "Oh, wow." And that was it. So we put it up. I went and bought an Apple TV and then we hooked it up and we watched TV and it was great. We enjoyed it. Why do I share this testimony? I share it because when you ask for the direction of God, whether or not you think that it has something to do with scripture or not, the scripture will always lead you into the correct path. The Bible will always lead you into the path that you ought to go. So here's the question that I have. What does the Bible do? There are a couple of things that scripture does when we read it. And number one, what it does is it cleanses us. Say with me, it cleanses me. It cleanses us. The Holy Spirit will use the word of God, the Bible, to change you and to cleanse you. That's why Many of you, when you started out, when you became a Christian, you would read scripture every single day and you felt like there was a change. Now, at some point, you feel like you're stuck. Why? Because you will usually associate when people get stuck in their spiritual walk, it means that they stopped reading the word as well. They started spending more time on TikTok or Instagram or whatever it may be, and they left out the word. So the more that you leave out the word, the more stuck you feel. And so when you read scripture, it will cause you. Not only does it cleanse you, but it also causes you to make the right decisions. Why? Because as it begins to clean you, it begins to clean all the human philosophies in your mind that sound true, that sound like it's something from scripture, but it is not. I'll give you one example. I was talking to a guy and he was cutting my hair and he said, you know, I'm just trying to put out good karma because, you know, that's in the Bible. I said, is it? I don't know. And he said, yeah, you know, what you put out into the world, that's what you're going to get. You put out good energy, that's what you're going to get. I said, I don't know, man. That didn't happen for Jesus. He got crucified and he was probably the best man that ever lived. And then he didn't say anything. Why? You begin to believe all of these philosophies that are in the world the moment that you negate the reading of scripture. You begin to believe, and I can assure you, because it's happened to all of us, you pay more attention to what a preacher said on social media than what scripture actually says. And that's why you have a lot of people who don't believe in the move of the Spirit now. Why? Because some famous preacher said that prophecies and tongues and all of that, it ceases to exist. That's why you have people that say you can't speak tongues in public unless you have an interpreter, because they heard somebody misinterpret that scripture. So you have to read scripture for yourself. And not just take what somebody else said, not just take what I said, go home and study it. So when you begin to read scripture, it causes you to make the right decisions. It begins to clean you. It takes out these human philosophies. And so what it does is it also begins to let you know where you belong and where you don't belong. For example, when I first got into Bible school, there was a group of guys. They were really cool guys. Everybody knew them. They were popular. And I wanted to fit in. And I wanted to be friends with them because they were the cool people. They were the great musicians that were able to travel. But there was something about them that I could not connect with. There was something about them that was different. And so I ended up, I tried out for a band and then, I didn't even try out. They just needed a drummer and they called me and then I went. They're like, oh yeah, we like you. Oh yeah, you should come along. And so I always felt left out. I always felt like I was an outcast. You want to know why? I'll tell you exactly why. Because I was trained in fasting and prayer and the reading of scripture, while all of them had truths and had something to say about everything that I would talk about. I would talk about the move of the Spirit. I would talk about sin, and they would say, well, grace, man. You know, Jesus already paid the price. It's okay. They would go out, drink, and smoke, and then I would talk about that, and they would say, hey, we're under grace. Jesus turned water into wine. So they had a reason for everything that I would talk about. And I did not know that this whole time what it was the Holy Spirit through scripture telling me you don't belong in that circle. You don't belong in that place. So what does the Bible do? The Holy Spirit through scripture, what he does is he causes you to either, let me word it this way. He will either confirm or not the friendships and relationships that you ought to be in. That's why it is important to maintain the reading of scripture in your life. It causes you to be careful with what you listen to. It causes you to be careful with how you talk to people. And I'm the first one to raise my hand because I don't realize that I'm talking very harshly to people. I don't. You know, sometimes I'll say, hey, somebody's walking by. They're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, hey. And I have something else in my mind. I don't realize that. People have told me over and over, like, hey, man, you got to be careful. So I try to be very intentional. How's it going? You doing all right? Okay, cool. Because I'm naturally not like that. And so as we read scripture, as we commune with the Holy Spirit begins to change the way that you talk to people. You're not rude anymore. You don't exclude people anymore. You don't talk bad about others anymore. The Holy Spirit will never lead you. What does the Holy Spirit always lead you into? Into truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to exclude. For example, Aiden, you're somewhat new. You know what? Because you're new, Jaime, and Josue, we're friends, but he's new. He doesn't deserve as much time as we deserve. So what am I doing? I begin to exclude him. And then what ends up happening is I'm good friends with Josue. I'm good friends with Jaime, right? So then Aiden does something to Jaime. Jaime tells me about it. I really exclude him. I don't even say hi to him. I don't talk to him anymore. But then, and this is a spirit that keeps growing and growing. Check this out. This is exactly how it works 100% of the time. Then Jaime does something to Josue, and that makes me upset. So what do? I exclude Josue. I mean, I exclude Jaime. My bad. I exclude Jamie. I'm like, man, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And then who am I left with? Josue. And then Josue does something to me that I don't like. So what do? I react the same way that I reacted every time before. It's a spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into what is a lie. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into destruction. In other words, the Holy Spirit will never lead you to exclude. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to destroy. The Holy Spirit will always lead you into all truth. What is truth? The love of God. Anytime that you see that there is a separation, anytime that you see that there is an exclusion, every time that you see that there is, well, you know what, David's cool. I think he's getting a little weird. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. So then I treat him according to how he treats me. And you know what's very interesting is that the Holy Spirit will never treat us the way that we treat him. God will never treat us the way we treat him. Jesus will never treat us the way that we treat him. So if the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, I want you to ask yourself a very serious question. Do I treat people the same way that the Holy Spirit would have me treat them? Do I love them the same way that the Holy Spirit would have me love them? Ask yourself that question. And 90% of the time you will find out, like, we're not in high school anymore. Well, a lot of you guys are. I say we, me. But you will take notice that even in adults, it's like watching that movie. What's that movie? We Wear Pink on Wednesdays. What is it? Mean Girls. It's like watching an episode of Mean Girls. It really is. You want to know why? Because that spirit does not respect age. That spirit will move on and move on. And this is, what does the Bible say in John chapter 10, verse 10? Says that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. How many friends did I start off with? Three. How many did I end up with? Zero. Because Josue offended me. Remember, that was part of the exam. If you know how to do math. And that is the purpose of the thief. So you must be careful that it is God who takes away, that is God taking away whatever it is from your life or adding to it, and not the devil. And how do you make sure of that? The Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit, and this is where I want to get to, causes me to be pure. Say with me, pure. Pure. It causes me to be holy. Why is this important? The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. And you can write that down. This is where we're going to take off for the rest of the series in regards to beyond mistakes. It says, but as he... New King James Version. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Say with me, conduct. Conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, let's pause very quickly. What does it mean to be holy? If anybody besides Bible school students. What does it mean to be holy? To be righteous, okay? Somebody else? Who said set apart? You? Someone back there? Someone back there sounded like you. Yeah. Somebody else back there talks just like Daniel. Sounds just like Daniel. It means, what does it mean?
Truth.
Truth? To be holy means that you are set apart. It means that you are different than everybody else. To be holy does not mean that you are religious. It does not mean that you are better than everybody else. It does not mean that you are perfect by no means. To be holy, according to Scripture, what it means to be different. I'll show you an example. In Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says that Daniel determined in his heart. He made a decision to not contaminate himself with the food and the wine of the king. In other words, he made a decision to eat differently, to act differently, to live different than everybody else. And that's what took him and made him have favor before the king. Why? Because he decided to not do things like everybody else. So what does it mean to be holy? To be holy means that you're different. What is it that you do that makes you different than everybody else? I'm not talking about that you add milk first and then cereal. Oh, yeah, I'm different. I'm just being holy. That's not what I'm talking about. What does it mean to be set apart in your life? How are you set apart? What makes you different than everybody else in school? What makes you different than everybody else at work? What is it that you believe? How is it that you carry yourself that makes you different? And it's not that, oh, yeah, let's pray about it. Oh, you know what? I'm sick. It's not just confessing. How is it that you live? What is your heart? What makes your heart different than everybody else? It's not your knowledge, because you can know all about scripture, and I can find an atheist down the street and he probably knows more than all of us here. So it's not knowledge. What is it? It's your heart's posture. What makes you different and what sets you apart? Living in holiness means, and you can write this down, living in holiness means to live different than others. In other words, you think differently. The Bible says that we ought to be transformed in our way of thinking. You don't think according to the world. You think according to the Word of God. What does the Word of God do? This is what I really want to do. This is what I really want to say. This is how I really want to act. But the Word of God says, it means you live differently. You don't treat your enemies the same as other people would treat them. You know, it's so easy to say that, but it's so hard to actually live it. Because think about it. How many people have hurt you? Look around in this room. How many people have hurt you? Do you still love them the same as before? Now, if your answer is yes, then ask yourself, are you still willing to do with an honest heart the same things that you were willing to do before they hurt you? You don't have to answer out loud. That's for you. That question's for you. So then you respond differently. And that does not mean, again, it doesn't mean that you're religious. So then here's the question from the beginning. So then why is life so hard for many? So then why is the Christian walk so hard for many if the Holy Spirit is our helper? Why does it become so hard? I'll tell you exactly why. Because the Holy Spirit is attracted to holiness. That's why. I'll explain it to you. Raise your hand if you have a car. Keep your hand raised if your car is cleaned. It's clean? You can put your hand down. This is what happens. When you have a messy car will only allow space for you. But when your car is clean, then a clean car will allow space for more people. When you are not pure, when there is no holiness in us, we make no space for the Holy Spirit to ride with us in this highway that we call life. But when our life is clean, is pure, is holy before God, we're set apart, we live different, we talk different, we think different, we do things different than the world, we do it according to the Word of God, then we have space for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So then life becomes easier. And this walk of faith is not so hard anymore. The reason why many people struggle in their walk of faith is due to, number one, lack of holiness. Because when there is no holiness, then the Holy Spirit, he's not attracted to what's messy. He's attracted to what's holy. So then you have no help. You have nobody to come rescue you. You have nobody. You have someone who will hear you. But he says, come on, man, make space for me in your heart. Make space for me in your car. Clean out all these water bottles you got. Clean out all this Chick-fil-A bags that you have sitting here from 2 weeks ago. Do something. Take this car to the cleaners. Take this car to get vacuumed. Make space for me and I will ride with you the whole way. And that is exactly how the Holy Spirit views our heart. I want to ask you something. What is involved in your heart? What has a hold of your heart right now? Is it offenses that happen? That's equivalent to trash being in your car. Is it hurt? That's equivalent to trash being in your car. Is it gossip? Is it preconceived notions that you have towards other people that you've never spoken to, that you don't know anything about them, but you have this preconceived notion that they are a certain way? You have trash in your heart. And you have to get rid of that. If you are going to let the Holy Spirit ride with you the rest of the way, you have to make space for the Holy Spirit. Write this down. Holiness makes space for the Holy Spirit to ride with me in this life. That's what holiness does. So here's the question that I have. Why is holiness so important? Why is holiness so important in the life of a Christian? Why is it important that I do not contaminate myself with the thoughts of this world, with the desires of this world, with what everybody wants? Why is it so important? I'll tell you why it's important. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living in peace with everyone. It seems that many people have not understood and have never read the scripture because they're always continuously fighting with other people. And work at living a holy life. It takes work to live a holy life. You think everything comes easy? Do you think that me preaching now, me opening service to get to where I got, you think it was easy simply because my father is a pastor? No. It made life 10 times harder. Because he knew who I was at home. Because he knew exactly with my undiscipline or my discipline or my strengths or my weaknesses. He knew everything about me. So it became much harder for him to trust me. So I had to work for it. And the Bible says work at living holy. And then it says for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. That's why holiness is important. Do you want to see the Lord in your life? Be holy. Do you want to see the Lord at the end of your life? Live a holy life. The Bible doesn't say it's going to be easy, but that's why the Bible says, hey, you're not alone. There's a helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is there for you. He will pick you up. He will encourage you. He will speak life into you. But the only way that you're able to speak to the Holy Spirit in Him and you hear His words is if you cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. How can I word this? Tony, raise your hand. If Tony called any of you guys, what would your first reaction be? Exactly. Who is this? Why would you say that, Chris? Many reasons. Why?
I don't have him on my
contacts. You don't have him in your contacts, and why else? You don't know his voice. And so that's why when the Holy Spirit speaks, you ask yourself, who is this? You don't have him in your contacts. You don't know his voice. Why? Because you haven't cultivated a friendship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is continuously wanting to help you. He's trying to help you. He's wanting to help you get over those addictions, those bad habits. He's trying to make you pure. He's trying to make you holy. He wants to make you more like Jesus, but we don't recognize his voice because we don't have him in our contacts. We don't know his voice. And we ask ourselves, why would somebody I don't know be calling me? What do they want? And so many times the Holy Spirit, he's not calling us because he wants something. He's calling us because he wants to give us something. What is that? A better life, an easier life. That's why it is important to cultivate a friendship with the Holy Spirit. And I want to close out with this because I want to read something and I want you to understand how much unholiness, I don't know if that's the correct word, how much of world philosophy is so normal to everybody here. It is so normal to students. I'll tell you why. Repeat this after me. What I feed my spirit,
and my mind
will determine
how I view life
and how I view others. You know, one of the issues that we have is that when the Holy Spirit is speaking, because we don't have His contact and we don't know His voice, we reject it. However, when we become so familiar with human and worldly philosophies, then we accept those things. Why? Chris, if I call you, do you have my number?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know my voice?
Yes.
So if I call you, will you answer? And that is the same reason why many people struggle in this life. Because they will reject the call of the Holy Spirit, but answer to the call of the world. And the philosophies that come with it, and the way of thinking that come with it. What you feed your spirit, what you feed your mind, will determine how you view this life. This life is just so hard. This is just, yeah, school just sucks. I ask everybody that same question. How's school? It just sucks. And I hear everybody saying it. But you know the people that I ask, how's school going? They say, oh, it's going well. You're making good grades. Yeah. Those people, I have noticed in life, they will graduate. They always do something with their life because they thought different, because they were set apart, because they didn't talk like everybody else. So what you feed your spirit, what you feed your mind will determine. It will determine how you view life and how you view others. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think people who don't go to church, they always say, it's just a bunch of hypocrites at church. Have you ever been to church? Nah, but it's just a bunch of hypocrites. Who do they hang around with? People who talk like that. People who viewed that. Then you go to a church. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm not going to say any names, but before Hector came to this church and he was part of the youth group, he had heard down the grapevine, and I won't say who, but I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say who. But he had heard that people from Iglesia Filadelfia were weird. That church is weird. That youth group's weird. They're all into that, ooh, speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit, whatever, they're weird. Until what? Until he came. And he told me this. He said, I came and I saw it wasn't weird. I really liked it. You know what happens is that when you reject the call of the Spirit but answer to the call of the world, you will begin to speak like other people without having experienced God. And that's what keeps so many people from coming to God. They need the help, but they refuse to go to God. Why? Because of the people they are around. Take an inventory of the people that you are around. And there's so many things that we could talk about, the people you're around. You're around people that are negative. You're around people that everything's spiritual and that falls on you. And then there's also people who are around people that feel dominant over them. Why? Because they're insecure. So they surround themselves by other people that I can tell you what to do. I can tell you what. No. Surround yourself by people you can learn from. Surround yourself by people who will push you closer to Jesus. I want to finish with this, and I want to read a couple of things. I just typed in song lyrics on Google, and there wasn't a specific song because I don't know this person. I've never heard this song, but it was so interesting. I'm going to read you these lyrics. Anybody here heard of Lily Allen? I didn't think so because it sounded like a made-up name, but I don't know. But these are the lyrics. And the song is called something fear to fear. I don't know something. This is what it says. I want to be rich and I want lots of money. I don't care about clever. I don't care about funny. I want loads of clothes and F loads of diamonds. That's what it says. I heard people die while they're trying to find them. And I'll take my clothes off and it will be shameless. Because everyone knows that's how you get famous. I'll look at the sun and I'll look in the mirror. I'm on the right track. Yeah, I'm on to a winner. This is the chorus. I don't know what's right and what's real anymore. I don't know how I'm meant to feel anymore. When do you think it will all be clear? Because I'm taken over by the fear. This is music that's popular. I think it was like on the Billboard's whatever, Hot 100 or something. I don't know. But there are people, maybe it's not you, but there are people that are listening to this. And if you pay close attention, this is what's already inside of people's spirits and philosophies, even in the church. That's why they're so obsessed with taking pictures of their cars and their and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's all they do. That's all they talk is about the rims and about this and about I want to get this diamond and I want to get this car and I want to get this kind of house. And it's all earthly possessions because it's the same spirit. And then we fast forward just a little bit in that verse. What did it say? I'm willing to take my clothes off. It'd be shameless. What do you see now on social media? There's men and women, both half naked, making money. Because that's what they want. And so what ends up happening is what we once used to see as uncommon now becomes common. Why? Because there is no holiness. What are you feeding your spirit? Since I'm on the subject of music, I'm going to talk about this. There are people who see nothing wrong with secular music. And I'll respect your decision. And but fruit will always speak louder than beliefs. Fruit will always speak louder than your beliefs. I think it's okay to listen to secular music. And that's why people never live in victory. They're constantly struggling. Oh, it's just I want to get closer to God. I want to get closer. Well, I thought you were trying to get closer to God like 2 years ago. What happened? What you feed your spirit, what you feed your mind will determine how you view life and how you view others. So if I actually, I'll save it for next week. Yeah, we're going to continue because we're still going to talk about holiness. But did you know? I'm going to say this. Did you know? This is how far off the discernment. I need to finish. This is how far off the discernment is for most Christians. There are a lot of Christians that listen to country music. You want to know why? Because it talks about God in the Bible here and there. They mentioned God. They mentioned the Bible. What else do they talk about? That's number one. What is it? Tractors, yeah. They talk about tractors. They're talking about alcohol. They're talking about depression. They're talking about sadness. Let me tell you the truth behind country music. Did you know that country music is the number one genre behind depression and suicide? Did you know that? Why do you think people are depressed? Because music that talks about depression will keep you depressed. Why do you think people commit suicide? Because music that talks about the sad things of this life and this life is hard, but you know, God's got me. You'll never hear a spirit-filled Christian say, this life is just terrible and I'm just being attacked by the devil, but God's got me. That last phrase doesn't override everything else. No. What you talk, the Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. That's why I don't listen to country music. Why? Because I refuse to be a depressed Christian. I refuse to be a Christian who's constantly struggling with the same thing over and over and over again. And that's why, again, that's the reason why the walk of faith, your Christianity is so hard because of what you feed your soul, what you feed your spirit. There are things that I would not watch that people watch and they'll talk about. I don't watch them. That's me. I'm not telling you not to watch them. That's me. For example, Squid Games. I can't explain it, but I'll tell you there is a weird spirit behind that. I will not expose my spirit and my heart to those things. Why? Because I want to live in the holiness. Because I don't want the same results as everybody. I don't want the same results as every 36-year-old that's out there. I don't want the same results as every other church. I want uncommon results. I want results that come from God, victory, life in the Holy Spirit. And if you are going to obtain those results, then you must live a life with the Holy Spirit. You must live a life of holiness. And you can't just feed your life, your heart, anything and everything that's out there. There's a song. Who said that sounds Christian? It just hit me. Somebody said, no, I don't know. I'll finish off with this. This is my third time, I promise. When there is no purity, when there is no purity in our hearts, it becomes difficult to discern what is of God and what is not of God. I'll tell you why. And I'll tie it all together. Before the TikTok ban, you guys noticed that it was just different videos all of a sudden. It was just like, I don't know, man, this algorithm's like a little bit more American than Chinese now. So anyways, but before that, I came across a song and I heard the song and I was like, ah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds really good. I looked up the artist and I looked up the name and I started reading it. I said, I don't know, man, there's just something weird about it. It never mentions Jesus. It just says God. And it's an artist who's a Muslim who sings music that sounds like worship music, who most radio stations label praise and worship. I found that out. I looked up the category and it says gospel. She is a Muslim who is not singing to Jesus, who is not singing to the God of the Bible. However, right now, there are thousands, if not millions of Christians who are listening to that song. I don't even know her. It's like Nori or Nauri or something like that. Change Your Name is the name of the song. You listen to it and it's catchy. You're like, oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus, yes, yes, cleanse me, change me. All of your glory, yet. No, it's not singing to Jesus. It's singing to the Muslim God. So when there is no purity, when there is no holiness, it's hard to discern. And I'll finish with this. I'll tell you, and it hit me as I was talking about this. I've gone to people's houses or I've gotten into people's cars. And, you know, this is probably the first time in what, like 2 years, 3 years that I've talked about anything regarding music. I don't say anything because I respect people. I don't get in people's car and say, man, you're going to hell. You got a secular song. I don't say that. Man, look at you. That's why you're depressed. You're listening to country music. I don't say that. I say what I need to say, and that's up to them. You want to make it to heaven? That's you. You want to live a hard life? That's you, not me. So I've gotten into people's cars. I've gone to people's homes, and it was so interesting. When I got into somebody's car, I won't say who, but they're a part of this youth group. I think they're saved now after the 21 day of prayer and fasting. So I'm kidding. So I get into their car and they got this rap music just blasting. You know what the first thing they do? They go, oh, turn it off, put Christian music on. And then they give me an explanation as to why they were listening to that music. I didn't ask for an explanation. Do you want to know what that is? You really want to know what that is? And people don't realize it. You want to know what that is? I'm gonna tell you exactly what it is. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. But you don't recognize that it's the Holy Spirit. Who told you that it was wrong? I didn't tell you. Who told you to turn it off? I didn't tell you. Why did you all of a sudden feel a conviction? I didn't tell you. It's not my job. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Stand to your feet. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. But I want you to pay close attention to this. No matter how many times you've messed up, the Holy Spirit is here to help. The Holy Spirit cannot help you if you make no space for Him. If you do not live in holiness, how can He help you if He can't ride in the car with you? How? So I want to encourage you to begin to live a life of holiness. As we close out these 21 days of prayer and fasting, we end on Sunday. So Saturday and Sunday, be here. We have revival services with Gustavo Brown, that he's going to be here. Come and receive from God. But I want you to do this. If you've been praying and fasting, or if God has spoken to you last Wednesday or this Wednesday, write it down right now on your phone. Write it down. I'm not going to be upset because you take out your phone. I will be upset if you're just like, let me see, well, no, that somebody post a video, or if you're on TikTok or something. But write down what you decided in your heart to do or not do. And then when you get home, open that back up. And you might notice that you feel different now. Because the same thing that happens in prayer and fasting, when you're done, when you're in under the anointing, in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. That's why it's important to write things down. Then when you go home, or you're at Brahms, or you're at Cane's, or wherever it is, What ends up happening is that now you don't feel the same. It's maybe just not that bad. You know, maybe just I'll tone it down a little bit. And that is our human emotions taking advantage of us. So write things down and remember why you wrote that down. And that is the only way that you'll begin to take, that's the first step to cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So next week, we're going to continue this beyond mistakes, because the Holy Spirit's not mad at you. He's not mad at you because you probably got a Tupac CD in your car right now or whatever it is. Oh, we don't do CDs anymore, right? You got them on your playlist. I'm sorry, your Spotify and Apple playlist. He's not mad at you, but he's speaking to you. If I sounded mad, I wasn't mad, but I was passionate, yeah. But don't think that the Holy Spirit was yelling at you the whole time. I used to get scared when Henry came because he would yell. I'm like, oh my gosh, God's so mad at me. But he wasn't. That's just how he preaches. So close your eyes and lift up your hands. And I want to pray for you. But I want you to take at least a good 30 seconds and say, Lord, what are the things that you need me to cleanse out of my heart? Or you know how willing you are to obey and to follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Tell them and say, show me what I need to cleanse out. I'm willing to let you speak to me. The things I need to let go to reach a higher and greater level in you, I'm willing to let those things go. So tell them, if you're embarrassed, you don't want somebody to hear you, that's okay. You don't have to open up your mouth now, and he knows. But tell them with all truth and honesty and say, Lord, I know this is an area that I need to change. Help me. Help me. Direct me in the right path. Help me to advance. Help me, Holy Spirit, to get back up and to understand the love and the mercy that comes from Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.